And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the next episode of Sounds of the City. You are listening on CITR 2, CITR 101.9 FM, and you're here with your host, Rain. For the next hour, I will have a list of upcoming good tunes that we'll be performing in and around Vancouver for you in the next couple of months, and then you're going to listen. Hopefully, you'll have a good listen to the show and listen to all the diverse music that's out there. And pick which shows you want to go see. And as usual, we have a very diverse selection of music that's planned for you guys today. Just a heads up that I have two very special interviews prepared for you that I will play them shortly. One is by Vancouver's very own, but currently residing in Montreal. So Canada's very own Kid Koala, turntableless DJ performer who's playing tonight at the venue in nightclub in downtown. I had a chance to have a brief chat with him a few days ago, and I would love to play that interview for you. And in studio shortly, we're going to have Tom T from 5-11 Funk, who's also going to be playing a show tomorrow night at the Rickshaw Theater, and we're going to have him live in studio. Unfortunately, we couldn't get the other nine members of the band. My show's early. It's 10 a.m. They got jobs. People want to sleep in. I'm the only one. I'm actually the only one in the station right now. Darren just left. Welcome to the show. For starters, I'm going to start on bit of a low tempo song. It's a band called the Punch Brothers, and they're going to be playing on November 24th at the Chan Center for Performing Arts right here in UBC, like two blocks away from me. And Punch Brothers, there's a ukulele player. Let me try to speak. It's a five-piece band, and the reason why I got interested in them is their ukulele player, Chris Thiel, who is formerly from a band called Nickel Creek, and he is an incredible ukulele player. I want to play you one song by Punch Brothers. This one's called Movement and Location, the studio version, and it's from their album Who's Feeling Young Now, released in January. I enjoy it, and then we'll be back, and hopefully I'll play you an interview from Kid Koala.
The battle is lost.
that was just the, what you just heard was the Punch Brothers with the song Movement and Location. That was from the album Who's Feeling Young Now, and that got released in January 2011. Once again, Punch Brothers will be playing at the Chance Center for Performing Arts on November the 24th, right here, close to me at UBC, right next to, close to the station, like two blocks away within UBC. The big circular, beautiful building. Great acoustics in that venue. And Chris Style is a fantastic ukulele player. Check him out. It's part of his new band, The Punch Brothers. Carrying on with the rest of the show, I want to play you some from Kit Koala, and then I want to play you one from one of his as when he liked, he called it one of his favorite albums, Some of My Best Friends Are DJs. And the song that I'm going to play for you is Radio Newphonia. And then we're going to come back and we're going to have here a shortened version of the interview that I had with Eric, or Mr. Kit Koala, on air. But if you want to hear the full version of the interview, you have to I'll post the full podcast on my Facebook page, Sounds of the City Music. So check it out. But this one's called Radio Newphonia from Kit Koala.
Right now, we're gonna get together and give you a tune that we had a lot of requests for. It's our version of
Fun. Dance to jazz for fun. Play jazz for fun.
From the start, it had a kind of epileptic charm. It fitted the times. It made jokes and it wept. It laughed out loud. It dozed. And sometimes spoke with regret.
Thank you.
And that was Radio Newphonia by Kit Koala off of his album Some of My Best Friends Are DJs. I'm going to play you and my interview with him. I'll shorten it out, but if you want to hear the full version, go to Sounds of the City Music later tonight, today, and I'll post it there. But this is what Kit Koala had to say about his upbringing on classical music.
Deviation from how the music was written, like you couldn't add your own swing to it or change the tempo too much. It was, you know, it was pretty strict.
Yeah.
Whereas, in contrast, when I was introduced to the whole turntable scene, it was the exact opposite of that. They were, all the DJs were, you know, maybe 10 years older. The ones that were doing it professionally were just, you know, 10 years older instead of 500 years dead or something like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like a more current kind of scene, but on top of that, I think mainly what drew me to it was this attitude in the scratch community that was like, whatever you do, do something fresh, do something with your own personality, and, you know.
I was gonna say, because it seems like the classical music that you started studying with and what you've created right now, they seem on entirely two different worlds. Like, has your piano playing inspired your work as a turntablist?
It has. In hindsight, I'm very happy I went through that training, because it obviously changes the way you hear the world and hear music and put it together. And ironically enough, the stuff that I practice on turntables now is the same stuff that I hated practicing on piano, meaning scales and intervals and arpeggios and things like that. Now, where that used to be so mind-numbingly boring for me on piano, now on turntables, it's the kind of next challenge and then sort of my development on the instrument. It's like, okay, see if I just take an A flat on this record, can I bend it into all those other notes on the scale by hand just by pushing the record, you know, at different speeds, you know.
Do you still practice?
Learn how to do that accurately is actually yeah, something that needs to be practiced, like, daily.
No, but like you as a musician, do you still practice on a daily basis? Like, do you still do scales on
Absolutely.
A daily basis?
Well, scales on turntables, you see. When I first started on turntables, I was trying to just make the weirdest noises possible. And then as I kind of got older, I realized, well, a lot of the music that moves me, sometimes the emotion comes from the harmonies or the melodies that are playing. So I just tried to adapt that back to the turntable. It was like, well, can you do that on a turntable, play more melodically or harmonically, or, you know, with a bit of nuance so that it has that feeling. You know what I mean? So, oddly enough, yeah, the stuff that I hated practicing
now
when I was
it.
12, the stuff I'm practicing now, you know,
so,
I've been scratching.
So tell me this, will we ever see a day where Kit Koala shows up on stage and there's no turntables, there's just a piano, and he's like, hey, I got a surprise for you?
Well, you know what, I've done a few shows with piano, actually, but there's always turntables. Like, I like both instruments equally now. You know, there's just some things that you can't replace on piano because of what it can do, and then there's some things the turntables can do that other instruments couldn't even come near. So I like to take advantage of the fact that,
well, you're full of surprises, so I wouldn't be surprised if you showed up in a dress suit one day, all very dressed up, all very proper, and be like, here we go.
Exactly. But, you know, like I said, it wouldn't even be that far a leap, because that's how I started. My first musical performance was a piano recital when I was 5, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that scene isn't that foreign to me, but
well, tell me about actual, like, musical, you said musical performance, because when I've seen you in a concert before, and actually the first time I saw you was this summer in Salmon on Roots and Blues, where you performed there, but your performances seem to be a little bit more of just, way more than just musical. It seems to be an event. Like, on the November 9th, you're going to have robotic dancers, you're going to have, tell us a bit about how you, what is the ideal situation you would like to present a project to an audience? Like,
well, I think I sort of judge when I design a show, depending on what the budget is and the production budget and what we're able to do and the size of the venues and what have you. I try to design something that will surprise both the performer and the audience member. You know what I mean? I think people respond to that thing, that live thing, where you're like, oh man, you had to be there, because there has to be that element of something's happening there that didn't happen on any other night of the tour or any other city. You know what I mean? There needs to be that room for that kind of magic and to happen, you know? So as a performer, I think that's really key, because I try to put new ideas into the show or give myself sort of newer, more difficult things or more sillier things or different things to do, just so that I stay on my toes. And so when I'm up there, I don't just kind of go into autopilot and stagnate or anything. I think with shows, there's so much opportunity to have these wonderful moments of connectivity, you know, between the audience and the performers and the performers and the other performers, you know what I mean? So with Vinyl Vaudeville, which is the tour we're on now, I've got a crew of dancing girls. There's puppets and puppeteers and all this room for kind of this energy to be thrown around. And then on top of that, to involve the audience in a way that is, to me, I mean, the idea of it isn't new. It's just new in terms of maybe the arc of my own live career, or in terms of what's being done in sort of the style of show, you know, in terms of what people would expect from a DJ concert. I'm trying to break that mold as much as I can, and also...
That said, how new is every show? In other words, how much do you improvise? I'm very curious to know more about that.
There's a lot. I mean, the first thing you have to understand about the show is, like, there's no real safety net.
Yeah.
Like, there's the pieces that I want to perform. I have the records to do that. I have the equipment I need to do that. But it's not something where it just runs and then we kind of, like, follow along. It's actually, I wanted to be able to construct all that music from scratch on stage, whether it's using loopers and little sound bite samplers or three turntables. Like, the whole idea is that if it stops moving, the music stops. You know what I mean? That's what I liked about blues music. Yeah. And a lot of those early blues records is like, that guy was doing the drums with his foot. He's playing the rhythm guitar on you know, with his right hand. He's playing the bass with his thumbs. You know, the bass line's coming with his thumb. He's singing the lead part, and he's also singing the response part. So in essence, he's a backup vocalist.
Yeah.
In many ways, it was like a one-man
show
kind of energy. And the thing is, you knew it. You felt it. Like, if he stopped or even took a breath, and, you know, things would change. Like, the beat might drift a bit. Or you know, those old Charlie Patton records, for instance, he would drop beats here and there and just, like, cut straight to the chorus, or he would add an extra bar here, and then there's this element of surprise and spontaneity to it. I really wanted to capture that in this show. So because of that, I think just the way I DJ in general, just using analog records and having everything balanced on these tiny needles, like, you're kind of exposing yourself to a lot of things that can happen. And they could be disastrous, or they
yeah.
could be, like, interesting, you know. Like, for instance, if all three needles start skipping for whatever reason, like, the music still has to go on. You still have to recover. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in some ways, it's like, you might fall off your skateboard, but if you can get back on and then nail the next sort of section, then that's even better. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
I like that in the shows, and I try to, you know, set up these performances so that there's room for that to happen. If something drifts, that you can, like, pull it back. You know, I feel the audience can feel that, too, that it's not just exactly the same every night, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And then on top of that, you know, especially with the dance, the crew of dancing girls and
yeah.
stuff, and we take notes after every show. It's like, oh, that really worked, or that one was better in Detroit. I mean, we talk about, like, how can we change it? How can we make it better? Or how can we, you know, what else can we try? And so every day, you know, once we pull into the new city, we're like, okay, we need to, you know, try this or set this up, or maybe we need to go buy some extra props,
yeah.
whatever it is, you know. Just
to, well, improvisation, you know, is all part of it. Like, if you come up with an idea on day of, you can just use that.
Exactly, and you never know, and that's part of the excitement as a performer, is just to test new ideas.
Well, speaking of little needles,
it could all work.
Well, I've seen you play online a bunch of times, and I saw you in person once. Even if you did F up, I don't think anyone noticed.
All right.
People always have a good time at your shows.
Exactly. Well, you know, for me, I could think of worse jobs. You know what I mean?
So
I've done shows where there's only one, maybe one show where I've had to actually stop
and say I'm sorry. That didn't work out.
That was because my records were actually melting in the sun.
Really?
So
what city
were
you in?
Not only were the needles not sticking, that was in Toronto. It was a V Fest. I was stepping in for Amy Winehouse. She couldn't cross the border or something, and then so I. But she had obviously a big slot on the main stage. It was really sunny that day.
Yeah.
And the vinyl was actually, it was so hot, the vinyl was actually
melted
and turning wavy. Like the records started to cone while I was playing them, and then within 8 bars, you know, it'd sound like and then not only that, I was like, okay, well, I was up there and calculating what my options were, and I said, okay, well, I'm about to destroy my entire record collection if I keep playing, which I was totally down to do. So I just continued playing and seeing what I could recover. And then I realized that this was happening within 8 bars. So literally I could only play about 8 bars of record before I started doing this. But I continued playing 8 bars of each record.
Did anyone notice?
And eventually, oh yeah, no, it was pretty... interesting what was happening sonically. It was quite free jazz. Like at some point, you know, you're trying to beat juggle beats, but if the records are coned and warped, then the tempo is all off on them. You know, like it might go and to try to beat juggle that, and it made absolutely no sense. So that was and I learned stuff from that. Like,
well, the once in a lifetime experience.
I tell my booking agent, yeah, I'd say, if we're going to play the outdoor shows, there needs to be some sort of
shade
or covering or something. Or I'd, just book me a night slot.
Well, speaking of your little needles, I've seen many, many DJs in my life, and they all have something that you don't have, and that's called headphones. How does that work?
Okay. Well, that actually came from playing in bands.
Okay.
There was a lot of times when I was playing in bands where, you've got the pre-chorus, the chorus, and then you have to change chords to the bridge, and you have to do all this stuff. And it wasn't like you could spend another 8 bars just trying to find that part on the record that you needed. So a lot of it had to come down to learning how to drop cue, learning how to count rotations and stuff like that, and to label your records in a way that you could do it in the most efficient amount of time. Because a lot of those times playing in bands, the band's going and the song has its structure. You know what I mean?
You can't mess with that.
So it's like, sometimes I would have literally like 1 bar, like 4 beats to like cue up another record or switch records. And so eventually it became like a little bit of science of labeling records and learning how to drop cue and count rotation so that you can do all that in time.
So you do put a little
time
on your record.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's that, and you put marks on the center sticker as well that point to different, hours on the clock face, so to speak.
And that was my interview with Mr. Kit Koala. If you want to, there's approximately another 10 more minutes on that interview. If you want to listen to the whole thing, make sure to tune in. Go to Sounds of the City's Facebook page. All you have to do is just Facebook Sounds of the City Music, and it should pop up. It's the one that says CITR on it. And by 5 o'clock today, I'll post the full-length version of that interview. And it even gets a bit more interesting, so I highly recommend you guys doing that. But I want to leave Kit Koala with a song called Flu Season, and then when we get back, we'll slowly start. Hopefully, Tom will start showing up for 5 Alarm Funk, and then he's going to be in studio. I think he's just a little bit lost right now, but once he finds his way, he will be here, and he's really, 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 really looking forward to it. He's going to talk all about his show tomorrow night at the Rickshaw Theater. But before we get to 5 Alarm Funk, let me end Kit Koala with the Flu Season. Thank you. You just heard was the beautiful Kit Koala and with the song Flu Season. And once again, he's going to be playing tonight at the venue. And if you want a full coverage of that interview, make sure you go to my Facebook page, Sounds of the City Music, and I will upload the full interview by 5 o'clock today. But Kit Koala is in the past right now because it's already past 10:30, and I got the future right here in front of me. And Mr. Tom Towers from 5-1 Funk just walked into the studio, and he's still practicing his percussion. And he's getting ready for his show tomorrow night at the Rickshaw. But before we talk about the show, how are you, man? Hello.
I'm good. How are you doing, bud?
I am good, man. First of all, thanks a lot for waking up at a little bit of an earlier time of the day and joining me on my show. But you're gonna have a show tomorrow night at the Rickshaw with 5-1 Funk. After how long? How many months has it been?
You know, the last time we played in Vancouver was May 11th, so that's almost 6 months to the day.
Why don't you guys play every single weekend?
Well, this is because we don't want people to get bored, you know?
Dude, you guys are really entertaining. You show up. The first time I saw your concert, there was a shark and a bear on stage, or a grizzly bear, whatever, on stage. I was like, yeah, that won't ever get boring to me.
Well, maybe it's us. Maybe after we do it for months at a time, it's like, oh, is this shtick still funny? I don't know.
But your summer's been good. You've been running around. 5-1 Funk's been running around and going all over the place.
We zigzagged across Canada a couple of times. We went out. Our booking agent thought it'd be smart to drive to Ontario and back to Vancouver and then back to Ontario.
It's a beautiful road drive. Did you take the same route there and coming back? Or
no, actually, on the way back, the second time we dipped through the states, traveled through scenic Wisconsin and scenic North Dakota and scenic, yeah. We saved some time coming back, but it meant that we were driving. There was this 27-hour driving day. Which is...
Oh, excuse me?
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible somehow. It's a 27-hour driving day.
That's how good we are.
That's how good we are. We bend the laws of time.
I was going to say, if you're going to go just on one, the same route, you can probably plant doobies for yourself in between on the road. So when you're on your way back, you're like, wait a minute, only 150K more to the next doobie. Let's go.
I remember this gas station. Exactly. Yeah.
Just hide it there. Yeah. Let's stop talking. I like talking, and I'll talk to you a little bit more. But I got a bunch of your albums right in front of me, and I want to play you one. Well, you know what song I'm going to play. You're the DJ now. Announce.
A Titan!
From your album.
That's Anything Is Possible, our third seminal album. They're all seminal albums, but this is the third one that was seminal.
And Titan is... like. introduce the song.
Titan is sort of a blend of gypsy rock and just all-out Balkan madness. It's our... Can I say bastardize on the air?
Yeah, sure.
Because I just did.
I know.
It's us bastardizing a whole bunch of genres, mashing them together, and this is one of the better... They're all good. It's 14 tracks of gold off that album, but, you know, this is one of the platinum tracks.
There's a general law on Sounds of the City. You can pretty much get one swear word per show.
And I use it on Bastardize?
Three times, maybe. All right, this one's called Titan. It's from Five Alarm Funk. You listen to it on Sounds of the City.
Our idea of what it might sound like if two sick DJs met and talked on the street. The street. The street. The street.
And I effed up again because CD2 and CD3 are right next to each other. So once again, this is Bastardized from Fire Alarm. I mean, this is Titan from Fire Alarm Funk. Sorry. And that was not Bastardized, but that was a song called Titan by Five Alarm Funk off of their album, 2010 album, what was Anything Is Possible, right? And it was a huge, huge good tune. But we're going to go back to Five Alarm Funk in Uno Momento, but as long as I have Tom here, and I know he likes percussion a lot, I just figured I'll play an Xavier Rudd song, because he's going to be playing in Vancouver on November 15th and 16th, Thursday and Friday night at the Commodore Ballroom. So make sure you get tickets for that at Ticketmaster.com. But from his 2010, you like Xavier Rudd?
I love him.
Have you heard of this album?
Is that a new one? Because I don't recognize that.
It's Konyum Son. It's an album that came out also in 2012. He made a band. So this one's actually not just Xavier Rudd. It's Xavier Rudd and Izin Taba, it's him and two, how do I use the word, African-American individuals are performing with him on drums and electric guitar. And I don't know if he's going to continue working with them, but he definitely created a new sound, very different from what he's been working in the past. One personal thing I have with Xavier Rudd, not really a problem, and I'm actually going to hopefully get a chance to interview him next week. I don't know if I have the balls to ask him this question, but he used to be like a great percussionist, and like, you know, you go to an Xavier Rudd show, there was like six drums in front of you, two digits, a slide guitar, and you kind of played them all at the same time. But lately, he's just, you know, he's a man with a guitar and singing melancholy songs. And so you go, you do pre-drinking in your house, get hyped up, go to a party, and then get reminded of your ex-girlfriend, start breaking down in tears. And it's like, well, why, man? Why can't you just keep rocking out? What's wrong with you rocking out? Like, I'm curious to know what your opinion is as, like, you know, Five Alarm Funk, for example, started off with a sound that when you go to a Five Alarm Funk show, people kind of know what to expect. They're going to end up sweating and hopefully get laid. like people have an expectation.
My expectations.
what if you actually go, what if you guys all decide, like, dude, like, wow, we're into, like, we love Beethoven. Like, we should do classical.
I will say this, the Infernal Monologue, which leads off Anything Is Possible, actually has a little bit, I don't think it's Beethoven, but we do like the classical, but it goes very quickly into crazy, like, loud, thrashy metal, so it doesn't ever stay soft.
I'm curious, no, I guess let me rephrase my question. Let's say you had an epiphany in the morning, you're like, wait a minute, no more baggy jeans, we're going to wear suits right now, we're going to cut our hair, and we're going to become different. Will you continue... would you continue using the word Five Alarm Funk as your band, or do you think you would change it and do a new group because people have an expectation with Five Alarm?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and it might be a bit of a misnomer. I mean, people tell us that all the time as it is, that we're not playing enough funk, or you guys aren't funky enough, or this isn't straight funk, or I listened to a couple of tracks and it was like all over the place, but it wasn't funk. I was like, well, you know what? We do get back to the funk.
They don't sound like nice people.
I don't know. People who can't get up and shake their butts for 2 hours have nothing to do with me. Yeah, but if all of a sudden fans came out to a show and they caught some sort of like dinner time jazz theater, I could see people being a little miffed at that. You know, I don't think you could get away for that for too long. And I haven't heard this new Xavier album, but when I saw him in 07 or 08, it was 07. He had a wall around, like three quarters of him was surrounded by drums and digits, mm-hmm. and the guitar. And he was, you know, doing the harmonica and playing. And he was a one-man show, and it was just like freaking phenomenal. He incited a riot. He got everyone to tear down the fence at the front and storm the stage. And then he couldn't play music anymore because everyone was like grabbing his hair and stuff. But he's a crazy performer. But I think there's no shortage of sad acoustic guitar singers. So, you know, I'd like him to keep the energy going. And he always has had a really positive message, too, so.
Well, let's hear one. Yeah. Well, I actually chose the one that I like the most that's still kind of a little bit more old, sounds like a little bit more of his old school stuff and from his album, Konyum Son. This one's called Set Me Free. And then we're going to be back, and then we're going to have more music from Five Alarm Funk. You're listening to it on Sounds of the City Radio.
My time for release, will you set me free? Yeah. brother, like the lion he is. He knows what he knows, and he sees what you set me free. And I feel it's coming, my time for release. Will you set me free? And I know. Of his father passed through his bones. Was it once, was it twice, was it nothing at all? It was inside my temple, was inside my home. And I look in the mirror with this patience and grief, and I know what I know, and I see what I see. Would you set me free? And I feel it is coming, my time for release. Will you set me free? And I know.
CITR is celebrating the 75th anniversary of UBC Radio Excellence, 30 years on the FM dial, and 30 years of Discorder magazine. Your one and only CITR 101.9 FM is inviting all CITR alumni and friends to our alumni weekend this November 16th and 17th. On the 16th, we'll be kicking it live on location at Perch on 337 Hastings around 5 p.m. for some beers, cheers, and cooling with peers. The 17th, come to Thea's Lounge for some Give Us Your Love brunch at 11 a.m. Find out more about what's going down at the station and the progress we have made over the years. Shortly after, join us for tours of our beloved station and learn about our space in the new sub. Come to our birthday party on Saturday evening at Chapel Arts with CITR alumni Lisa Marr and Culture Shock performing, as well as Gang Signs, Fine Mist, Carolyn Mark, and Channels 3 and 4. Reminisce about the good old days, bumping the shows of the past, as we have dedicated this special weekend to hearing our alumni on the airwaves. So come and cool out with us on the freaking weekend and have you some fun. But don't forget to register for events. Visit CITR.ca for more details.
And we are back with Sounds of the City Radio here with your host, Ryan, and your co-host for the day, Mr. Tom Towers from Five Alarm Funk. You just got a phone call right now. A very passionate listener had some opinions about doing whatever the fuck you want. Oop, I already said my F word.
So. Oh, you dropped it. Yeah, that was the coolest phone call I've had in ages. I don't have a cell phone, so to get a phone call in a radio station is a big thing for me, okay? And then he's just telling me, he's like, yeah, you got to do what you got to do. And if you're getting a response, good or bad, I mean, like, you got to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and like what you're doing. And a guy was just so full of energy, and I got to say, that was pretty awesome.
Well, you asked him to come to tomorrow night's show. He was unfortunately busy, I think I'm sure everyone else in Vancouver will be there. You're working on, you guys have been rehearsing like crazy in the last couple of weeks. You're working on a new album, and from what I've heard, and you're going to be playing some of the tunes. Tell us a little bit more about the future of 5-1.
Yeah, the album's still a little ways away, but the general concept is sort of like everyday life goes on as it is, and then... one of the tracks we have, the We All Scream, features a ice cream man that warps your mind, and then all of a sudden everything goes haywire, ends up with a summoning of a giant robot that wipes out humanity, and, you know, this all story writes itself.
Once again, happy story. Good times.
I mean, if you look at the cover art from our albums, there's, you know, alpha predators attacking each other, giant clockwork steeds destroying cities. It's vivid, if anything, but... we're going to have two new songs Saturday, November...
That you've never 10th. Played before.
Never played for people. Well, we did play We All Scream for people in August and stuff, but we haven't played in Vancouver since May, so that is going to be new for Vancouver audiences. And Erupt, the newest song, we've actually just been hammering out the last couple practices, and that one is all about natural disasters, earthquakes, magma, tornadoes, volcanoes.
Okay, why focus on... Because 2012 was now. Like, it's going to die in December, and then you guys are doing one in next year. You're a year late when it comes to...
Post-apocalyptic after party.
Which, that was going to be the name of your album, right?
Yeah, that or White Noise.
And you haven't decided yet?
No. So it's probably going to be something... It might even be the name of a track, you know? Like, sometimes that works.
I think even if you don't put the post-apocalyptic after party, I think you should just throw a party with that. That name should be used somewhere, sometime.
That might be the last track on the album, yeah.
That would be cool.
Once the world's been destroyed, and then got to have something to close the album, right?
Yeah, that's good. Good point. Well, I got your album, Rock the Sky, in front of me, and you have a song called The Critic, which I want to play first, and then we're gonna get to let's play Iron Pegasus afterwards, because apparently, as you said, it's your best recorded song,
and it's also featured on the cover of the album. That is the Iron Pegasus, right there.
Obviously, it's radio, I can't show it to you, but if you want to see it, you can go buy the album Rock the Sky online.
Yeah, it's available at cdbaby.com. We have links to it through our page. We have 5alarmfunk.com, we have Facebook. The 5 Alarm Punk page. We even have MySpace, if anyone still uses MySpace. We have that.
We have my own personal number. You can call me.
Yeah, I don't actually. You can't call me, unless I'm at the radio station.
So I want to play the song called The Critic. You apparently got an annoying little voice talking.
It's a pretty nasally guy on there. Doesn't really like what the band's doing.
How did this come about? Like, did someone criticize you guys one day?
Yeah,
like,
well,
this.
You know, every once in a while, someone will post something, or we'll see a YouTube comment, and it's like, this isn't funk. You guys don't play funk. Like, what's going on? This is just, my favorite term is white noise, because, you know, we're playing what originally started as Afrobeat, and, you know, we have some reggae songs and world music, but we're all very much just a bunch of honkies from Vancouver.
How do you create your music, like, as a band? Because you're a 10-piece band, at the least, and, like, I don't know, if I want to invite two people over for a cup of coffee, I have trouble as much as it is. How do you guys, like, do you guys all create it at the same time together? Does that have to happen? Like, explain about your creative process.
It can happen. It can happen where one or two people will actually take time to write out sheet music for the horns. That's usually the biggest step, is getting sheet music for the horns, because once that's done, it seems like everything sort of cements around it. But for instance, last night at practice, getting ready for the show, November 10th at the Rickshaw Theater.
Tomorrow.
We were practicing and waiting for a few people to show up, so we just start a groove. Our guitar player Ollie, who is famous for his heavy, heavy grooves, just starts this freaking pattern, and all of a sudden the bass is matching, the guitar's doing this like high-pitched primacy thing, and it's like, that's gonna be the next song. It's just like that. It was just snap. Freaking, I'm going to lay the groove down. Drums are going to come in. We'll figure out the horns later, but this is a heavy freaking groove, and it happens so naturally.
And how far did, when the horns came, were they like, oh, sorry, were they, oh, wait, you already made a song without me?
Well, sometimes they'll, you know, try and sync up a line or look at each other. They'll figure it out. Sometimes they'll sort of solo over top of it, see if anything clicks. But there'll be a few more steps, definitely a few more steps from last night's practice to having a polished product for the crowd, because like Erupt, the newest song, we have form. We've locked it. We've played it enough times that we're not going to beef it on stage. We're not going to do it a disservice. Like you know, we don't seem that professional when we're jumping around in rainbow afro wigs and gorilla suits and doing body slides on our chest sweat across the stage. But there is actually a very high level of professionalism behind all of that. You guys really should come out and check the show. It's going to be fun.
have you ever like beefed majorly on stage?
I once, at a ski resort in the Rockies, lifted up a flower pot during one of my conga
and
solos.
Broke your back, didn't
you? No. It was great. I was just holding it up with one arm, though, and playing with the other arm. So it was sort of like, oh, he's doing all that with one arm. Except it wasn't very good because I was holding a flower pot. And then I got kind of, I was just like, looked at the crowd. They were just like staring at me like, what the hell are you doing? I was like, it's called experimentation, people.
And obviously it didn't work. I won't do it again.
our timbale player one time, he was standing on an inflatable couch doing a crowd surf. And he stood up and ended up bailing and dislocated his shoulder. Couldn't finish the show. Had to go to the hospital. But first guy at the after party.
Wait. So he went to the hospital, and the rest of the band was.
We kept playing. We had to, man. It's like you can't stop playing, right?
I love how your concerts are like as if people are going to war. It's like you start off 10 people. By the end of it, there's only like 70 of you. You make it out alive in one piece.
Yeah.
So like this concert, we had 3 casualties. Yeah, Tom ended up breaking his leg again. not. Hopefully that won't happen tomorrow night.
I don't need him. I don't need him for the drums anyway.
Although
sometimes I do like to get my feet up on the drums.
Is that gonna happen tomorrow night?
Or
is it gonna be a surprise? We're not gonna give it. But like, do you plan that up? Like, do you, or is it like?
There's a few.
All
spots.
Of a sudden, the whiskey kicks in, and you're like, "Woohoo!"
You know what? I gotta say, a little liquid courage never hurt the showmanship.
Never hurt. never hurt life in general. Let's hear the critic. It sounds like an interesting one. You already have introduced it. You're listening to it. It's from their latest album, which came out in May. It's called Rock the Sky, and this one's called The Critic, presented to you by Tom Towers of 5-Alarm Funk. Make sure you buy tickets in advance for tomorrow night's show at...
You can get them at Zulu, at High Life, and at Red Cat Records. You can even, if you know anyone in the band, you can talk to us, because we'll have them $20 at cost, as opposed to little service charges here and there. And, you know, you don't want to be caught out in the rain tomorrow. It's going to be sunny, though.
I was going to say. It's a good selling point. You're listening to The Critic on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Smoke up. It sounds like my-
And that's Farallon Funk's take on critics and how much they don't like critics. And if you don't like Farallon Funk, don't show up to their concert tomorrow night. But all you wicked people who do like Farallon Funk and you want to go dance your ass off tomorrow night, Farallon Funk will be playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Who's opening for you guys?
The Banana Fish Dance Orchestra from Vancouver Island.
Already said it's going to be a dance show, and yeah, obviously it's going to be ridiculous when you have Farallon Funk and the word banana fish in the title of a show. But yeah, that's tomorrow night at the Rickshaw Theater. Make sure to check them out. We got to slowly sign off. I'm just going to put on their, apparently, Iron Pegasus, which is Farallon Funk's favorite, best, as Tom says, their best recorded album. Yeah, hopefully we'll all see you tomorrow night. Do you have any final words of inspiration?
I just want to say we are open to criticism, but we'll probably just take it and make fun of you for it. That's all.
There you go. So make sure you give them a fake name when you're talking to them after this show. Don't piss off musicians, man. It's just not a good thing. If you're their ex-girlfriend, they'll write a sad song about you, and then there you go. You're like the top of... I should stop talking about that. Anyhow, thank you all so much for listening to Sounds of the City Radio. I want to pass on the microphone to Dorothy with Stereo Blues and Uno Momento, but to leave you guys off for the rest of this week's Sounds of the City, I'm going to play the song Iron Pegasus from Farallon Funk's album Rock the Sky, and hopefully in a year or so we're going to see their new album come out. Until next time, stay safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't do, but if you do, love it. We'll be right back.
This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.